naught but a rubbish heap to mark the site of Grey Beaver's teepee. So now he pointed his muzzle to the cold stars and told to them his woe. Inside the cabin, the two men had just gone to bed.
"He's gone off his food again," Matt remarked from his bunk.
There was a grunt from Weed and Scott's bunk and a stir of blankets.
"From the way he cut up the other time he went away, I wouldn't wonder this time but what he died."
The blankets in the other bunk stirred irritably.
"Oh, shut up," Scott cried out through the darkness. "You nag worse than a woman."
"I'm agreeing with you," the dog musher answered,
and Weed and Scott was not quite sure whether or not the other had snickered. The next day, White Fang's anxiety and restlessness were even more pronounced. He dogged his master's heels whenever he left the cabin, and haunted the front stoop when he remained inside. Through the open door, he could catch glimpses of the luggage on the floor. The grip had been joined by two large canvas bags and a box. Mats was rolling the master's blankets and fur robe inside a small tarpaulin. White Fang whined as he watched the operation. Later on, two Indians arrived. He watched them.